Please take your seats. The public hearing is now called to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Legislators May,
here.
Rowley,
here.
Burtis,
here.
Tassone,
here.
Cody,
here.
Abbott,
here.
Kuhn,
here.
Ryan,
here.
Chase,
here.
Holmquist,
here.
McBride,
here.
Bush,
here.
Kelly,
here.
Kinney,
here.
Williams,
here.
Irvin. Mr. Chairman.
Here.
17 ayes. I'm sorry, 17 present, none absent.
Will the clerk please read the notice?
Calling for a public hearing on the assessment roll for Southwood Jamesville Water District. Resolved that this county legislature hold a public hearing on such assessment roll in the manner and upon the notice prescribed by the pertinent sections of the county law and for the purpose called for by said provisions of law, said public hearing to be held at the legislative chambers, fourth floor of the courthouse in Syracuse, New York, on the 21st day of December 2021 at 11:25 a.m. for the purpose of conducting a public
motion
hearing.
Motion to waive the reading. Objections? Seeing none, waivers granted. Was the notice of the hearing duly published?
It was.
Are there any speakers for the Southwood Jamesville Water District public hearing?
No, no one has signed up to speak.
Any takers for the Southwood Jamesville Water District? Seeing none, the public hearing is now closed. Public hearing is now called to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Legislators May,
here.
Rowley,
here.
Burtis,
here.
Tassone,
here.
Cody,
here.
Abbott,
here.
Kuhn,
here.
Ryan, Chase,
here.
Holmquist,
here.
McBride,
here.
Bush,
here.
Kelly,
here.
Kinney,
here.
Williams,
here.
Irvin, Mr. Chairman.
Here.
15 present, 2 absent.
Will the clerk please read the notice?
Calling for a public hearing on the assessment roll for Warner's Water District. Resolved that this county legislature hold a public hearing on such assessment roll in the manner and upon the notice prescribed by the pertinent sections of the county law and for the purpose called for by said provisions of law, said public hearing to be held at the legislative chambers, fourth floor of the courthouse in Syracuse, New York, on the 21st day of December 2021 at 11:27 a.m. for the purpose of conducting a public hearing upon this aforesaid matter.
Motion for the reading. Objections? Seeing none, waivers granted. Was the notice of the hearing duly published?
It was.
Are there any speakers for the Warner's Water District?
None have signed in.
Anyone wishing to speak on the Warner's Water District? Seeing none, the public hearing is now closed. The public hearing is now called to order. Will the clerk call the roll?
Legislators May,
here.
Rowley,
here.
Burtis,
here.
Tassone,
here.
Cody,
here.
Abbott,
here.
Kuhn,
here.
Ryan,
here.
Chase,
here.
Holmquist,
here.
McBride,
here.
Bush,
here.
Kelly,
here.
Kinney,
here.
Williams,
here.
Irvin,
here.
Mr. Chairman,
here.
17 present, none absent.
Thank you. Will the clerk please read the notice?
Pursuant to resolution number 123-2021, a public hearing on the proposed local laws regarding reapportionment is scheduled to be held on Tuesday, December 21st at 11:30 a.m. in the legislative chambers, room 407 of the courthouse, 401 Montgomery Street, Syracuse, New York. The public hearing will also be available via live stream on the Onondaga County Legislature's Facebook page.
Was the notice of the hearing duly published?
It was.
Are there any speakers?
As signed in.
Okay, thank you. So we have some speakers. When I call your name, if you would come up to the podium and make your comments. Our tradition is 3 minutes. If we could hold to that, we would appreciate it, as we have regular meetings starting at 1 p.m. So we'll start with, we go right in the order that you signed in. The first speaker is Mary Cunningham, and this is on the proposed local law regarding reapportionment in Onondaga County. If you could just push the button on the bottom there. Melanie's got it. Sorry about that.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you. I think this is a sad day. We have a process that is unbelievably poor. We had 15 county legislators sign a pledge to do nonpartisan, to work toward nonpartisan redistricting. Nine of those people reneged on their pledge. I would like them to stand up and identify themselves.
You're allowed to make comments, but not ask questions or have people do things.
That's a request. These people are representing me, and I'd like to see them. They say they had a pledge to try toward nonpartisan. What nine people reneged on that promise? Stand up. If you believe in it, stand up. Otherwise, I assume you're ashamed. I will go on. As we know, this part is this present, redistricting 10 years ago was done with the member of the county executive, as the present county executive is part of the commission for redistricting. That was not nonpartisan, bipartisan, impartial, or fair. And we are here again, and it's happening again. So we have a process that is disenfranchising many areas. The 16th ward in the city, the last ward that has full city representation and that has representation for our black population, is being slowly and meticulously dismantled. Shame on us. I come right now from the village of Fayetteville. The village of Manlius has been taken out of the town of Manlius still. After rethinking to number four, the village of Manlius is now with Lafayette Pompey. How is that keeping communities of interest? How is that following New York State's Constitution when you take our village?
Make sure you speak into the microphone, please, so we can have you for the record.
Okay. Could you hear me? I hope you could hear me. Thank you. We have the town and village of DeWitt being split up into four parts. That is not keeping community of interest. We have other areas that are also being still, after all the comments that came the first time around, they are still being broken up. We have a city that is one-third of the county's population. It does not have one-third of the county's representatives. There should be one-third of the city sitting in this room. It's not. And that's because we keep breaking up cities, districts, and you can see on number three that you could keep six districts in the city. That would be one-third. That would be fair. That would be impartial. You might not like it, but that's what it would be. I just want to remind you, I'm just an everyday citizen, but I want to remind you that we are not. We need to be preserving and protecting our communities of interest. And we are not. Shame on you. Thank you.
Next is Jacqueline, either LaRonde or LaSonde. I'm not sure if that's an S or an R. I apologize. And we have Charles Pierce L. on deck.
Good morning, and happy holidays. I don't know how happy they are for people who continue to have to fight a fight that's already been fought, but we're here for it. So I am a resident, and we are activists in the 16th District, and we have representatives who are supposed to be speaking up and advocating for us. Shame on the process that continues to unfold in front of us. It's not a southern thing. It's not another state. It's right here in a place that's already struggling, the 16th District, this ward that has been dismantled, and you're going to give us one thing, the I-81 coming down, and take all these other things, this redistricting, going to slice and dice us until we're not represented properly. Although there are laws in place to protect us, they're not working because you got to follow the rules first. We do the voter registration information and get people out to vote. What are we voting for if you continue to tell the voters that your vote doesn't really count? We're going to work just as hard to make sure. We're not going to be 10 years in with this district that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't recognize or represent us. And yes, we are a majority minority. We go through the process of T-shirts and informing folk, and we're going to continue to do that work. We're going to be proactive. We're not going to let you win at this game of cheating. If you don't follow the rules, then we're going to continue to find attorneys that will represent us, because our elected officials, and as much as they are here, sometimes they're taking deals that they shouldn't, or making plans and being promised things. You're not asking us. Don't represent people and then don't even bother to ask or talk to us, because that's a problem. We get word in the news about this public meeting. It's a sham, and it's a shame that it's a sham, because we want to be heard, represented, and we're not going away, so don't count on it. And we have legal representation. Count on it. We are here for it. Don't make us have to do something that you should be doing because it's the right thing to do. We are majority-minority. You know what that means, and you need to make us lessened or weakened, attenuated, if you will. So I appreciate your time, but I don't appreciate taking time out of a day. Tomorrow we'll be distributing food to people who don't or can't afford it, who have accessibility to it, and we have to stop all of our dealings to come here to beg for our humanity. Now, I don't know about you, but it definitely... We stand on the shoulders of Martin Luther King and Sojourner Truth and all the people who came before us, and we have no intention of going backward as these rights are being stripped and peeled away from us. So I thank you for your time, but look for us in the future.
Okay. Next is Charles Pierce L. with Alexander Williams on deck.
Good morning, everybody. It's still morning. 12 o'clock hasn't set in yet. I want to thank you all, Chair, for having this public meeting here today. I want to thank all the legislators for being here that are here and the guests. As I stated earlier in the last public meeting about the voter suppression that's going on in my community, it's going on for a long time, and I'm tired of it, you know, technically, but I still struggle. I'm 75 years old, and I'm still out here in this by my community, particularly the South Side City of Syracuse, which is very underrepresented in this capacity. You know, we have a lot of African Americans that's in the political process. They vote. They want to vote and participate. But when you take these things away from our children that's coming up and able to vote in the next couple of years, they're gonna say, like the two persons ahead of me spoke on about voter suppression and stuff going on where they don't think their vote count. In actuality, it counts collectively. Individually, it doesn't count at all. And I want to thank you, Chair, for vetoing this thing. You know, because we don't want to go to court. We don't want Syracuse to be on the map that we're going to court because something is not right in our county. Onondaga County is one of the best counties in the United States of America. If you do the history on that, we were the first people with industrialization, with the salt mine. So, you know, we have a lot of jewels in our community, but we need to come together. Just because you look different than me, that don't mean that we don't have the same ideology behind us. You care for your family as well as I care for mine. You love your children like I love mine, you know, and, you know, your blood is just like my blood. You know, if I needed your help and something happened to me, I'm gonna try to get your blood, and I hope you try to do the same with me if you need mine. And I'm the only one that can save you, because life is very precious, and we need to set examples. You know, particularly with politics, we should. You know, you guys, young ladies and men are here to help us, represent us, and follow the Constitution, not only just of the federal government, but the state of New York's Constitution. So we're able to do all these things, and I train and I talk to my children and the community and my people about the Constitution because it's very important. We the people are the government. You guys are our rep. We put our trust, our life, and our love in you guys to do the right thing, not just for us or for yourself, but for Syracuse and Onondaga County. So, you know, I want to just make sure that you understand that we're tied, just like we had, I think we had 10 voting locations in this area, in the early voting. They took six away. Right here at Army Toomey, the high risings, our senior high risings, they can't even go downstairs and vote no more. They used to be able to go down in their building and vote. They have to walk all the way up on Westcott Street to vote. The ones up on Brighton, they gotta get a ride, they gotta have a ride to come up and pick them up if they wanna vote. Our seniors do not go, they don't go and vote like that. Just recently, the vote that I had a senior down the street from me, around the corner from my house, went to vote. They said they've been voting for 20-something years, and they've told them that they're not listed. They have to sign off on a what you call an absentee ballot. They have to sign. That's crazy, you know. So these things are happening in our community, whether you guys know it or you feel it. You know, they're happening in our community, and I just want to make sure that you guys, as our elected officials, sit down and be bipartisan and get the things right that's not just for your community but for the whole city and the Onondaga County. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next we have Alexander Williams with Pete King on deck. Alexander Williams. Okay, well, why don't we go ahead with Mr. King, and then we'll see if Mr. Williams comes back.
Good morning, legislature. Thank you for coming here, doing your jobs. Thank you for your efforts. But I'll cut to the chase. It's as far as I know, this stuff is due in 2022. Like, what's this about? You know, I mean, I've already made comments that basically this relates a lot with social breakdown, with lack of communication, with, I don't know, we can do a list, but this needs process. This is a serious thing that, but it seems to be going under the rug at right before Christmas or right before the last one was before Thanksgiving, and really, I mean, I'd like to see an analysis of all three. I haven't looked at these options, so I couldn't tell you which one to do. I haven't had time, but I'd like to see an analysis of goodness of fit, voter proportionality. There are a number of things you should be looking at, independently of the politics. I don't know if this is a new art or science in the United States. I hear that there's fair independent redistricting is a hot new topic. I think a number of you voted for that maybe two years ago. I don't see evidence by today that has been followed. I don't know. I don't want to spread my aerosols anymore. I might have COVID. You might have COVID. It's not a good time for this. That's basically my comment, and I would recommend some serious public process with this. You'll probably get some return if you choose that route of investment. Thank you. Good day.
Thank you. Did Alexander Williams? Alexander Williams. He was the last speaker. Is there anyone else who would like to speak at this time? I guess we've got one more coming in. Other people would like to speak, please come up and sign in. On redistricting. If we could get this gentleman's name. And I think we need to get your name too, sir. But right now we have Casey Cleary Hammerstadt. If you two could just get signed in with the clerk outside. Okay. We have person is next. Thank you.
I'm laughing. During this season of darkness, during this devastating global pandemic, during this time when American democracy is imperiled, we need to focus on hope. I speak to you today because I still have hope that you will do the right thing. I have hope that you will send these maps back to the Reapportionment Commission. I have hope that you will resist the pressure to make a premature decision on the aquarium as well. The maps. There has been too little work put into making maps you deserve to be proud of as claiming as your best work. You can do better. We as a county would be better served by the articulation of criteria by which the maps will be drawn. Sorry, it's hard to catch my breath. We have all now read a third-party evaluation of the three maps before you, which were assessed on four criteria: proportionality, competitiveness, minority representation, and compactness. The maps put forth by Democrats were shown to rate better on all four criteria. The maps put forth by the Republicans are worse than the current maps on three of those criteria: proportionality, compactness, and minority representation. Do you doubt that result? Do you have additional criteria by which you think the maps should be evaluated? Well, then tell us what that criteria is. Put aside that doubt, establish criteria, and come up with maps that we can all agree on. The decision doesn't need to be made today. You are choosing to rush it as if your majority is at stake. Your majority is not at stake in the Dem maps. A map that truly threatens your majority will never come to pass. So why must you rush? Why do you insist on making this only about the criteria of partisanship? You can do better. You can be better. The aquarium is interrelated in my mind because we come up with things like this because we don't have a balance in our discussions and clear criteria by which we evaluate them. Please explain to us, using basic math, how the rosy projection of $796,000 in sales tax revenue annually justifies an $85 million investment in an aquarium. We invest $85 million in a highly risky adventure and expect a return on investment in 107 years. I am not a business person, but I recognize that math does not add up. Seriously, explain to us how you think about that. Has the local Republican Party abandoned any commitment to the idea of limited government? Have you also decided that the market is irrelevant? The market did not decide to put an aquarium there. They could have at any point over the past decades. You were intending to supplant the market. Have you given up on the idea that investment should show a return? I kept thinking about John D. Francisco in the last few weeks. I wonder who among you has the courage to take a stance that may be unpopular within your party, but is clear-eyed and principled and based on intelligence. It took decades to prove that John D. Francisco was right about destiny. He warned, quote, that we faced a very real danger of investing in boondoggles. That boondoggle not only destroyed malls and other businesses throughout our county, it still has not lived up to the promise of generating $20 million in annual property taxes.
You're well over your time. If you could wrap it up, I'd appreciate it, please.
Okay. I know how rushed we are today. What is going to happen to a mall that is valued at $203 million but is in debt for $715 million, despite all of the public investment that, and foregone tax revenue that this community gave it? We need to know the answer to this before you take $85 million more and then throw it into that black hole. Wish I could say more.
Thank you. Next we have Connor Sullivan. For those of you who came in after we got started, we keep the comments to around 3 minutes. Thank you. And David Rufus is on deck.
I'm not one much for public speaking, but given the fact that I've lived here for my entire life and this is going to affect the next 10 years, I feel like it's kind of imperative for me to be here today. So if I get high-pitched, bear with me. So I'm from Ballinsville, and I've been born and raised there. And to see two of these maps divide it into two different towns, whereas we're one cohesive unit, it doesn't make sense to me. And it's not the only district, it's not going to be the only district that does the same. We see the same thing in DeWitt, in Manlius, and as well as two of these maps take districts straight out of the city and crack and pack them into miles away. That doesn't seem very fair. If we want to have a functional democratic legislature, we need to have people who represent the interests of those community members. If we can't have the discussion that is required, but we need to have good dialogue. And in order to do that, we have to have competitive districts. I think it's imperative for us to move forward, rethink this process, given the fact that we have until 2023. We have time. And yet we're here rushing it in the middle of the week, right before Christmas, in the middle of the day, whereas everyone has work, whereas everyone else has to be somewhere else. So I guess that's really what I'm here for, is the fact that not only is my district, my home, being divided, but many others are too. And I know there's a better way. And I'm just asking you to really reconsider trying to be nonpartisan, try to be human. We all are. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is David Rufus with Marguerite Ross on deck.
Good morning, and thank you, it's actually afternoon, isn't it? Good afternoon, and thank you for giving us an opportunity to speak with you this morning, this evening, this afternoon. My name is David Rufus, and I am a senior organizer with NYCLU, New York Civil Liberties Union. Today, I just wanted to speak briefly to you about the opportunity that we have here in order to give people a chance to have a participatory plan that would allow people to engage and be involved in your new drawing of the maps. I think one of the things that's critical here for us is that there's been maps drawn up that reflect the 16th district that clearly reflects the possibility of cracking the black vote in that area. We're very concerned about that. We need to have a chance so that a professional can look at these maps, review them, overlook them, give people an opportunity to make comments. One thing that's most critical is that if you crack the 16th in order to create minority other districts in the city, it doesn't give the 16th a chance to have a true opportunity to participate. What I plan to do is that I've written a letter to the legislature, and I would like to submit that letter via email. We've had some technical difficulties printing it and producing it, so I'm trying right now to produce it, but I would like for you to receive the letter, review the letter, and hopefully make a decision based on that information that we've submitted. One other thing we think that's important is that you find a group of professionals, you know, at the PhD level to help redesign these maps that look at the city and talk about the city in a way that is equitable for everybody living in it. So right now, our position is that there needs to be more time, that there needs to be another chance for the maps to be reviewed publicly. I know that there's some restrictions, some requirements that you have to meet, and there are some things that you need to do, but we ask that you surrender those things in order to give us an opportunity to make sure that the folks in the neighborhood are truly represented by this redesign that you're asking to do. We've had a chance to talk to some folks, but I think that one of the things that's most valuable is that when you look at those maps and the way that they've been designed, it hurts the 16. It hurts, it cracks it, it blacks it, it destroys it. It moves us out of the possibility of being able to vote as neighbors, vote as friends, vote as people who've lived in this neighborhood for more than 20, 30 years. I'm a 60-year resident of this community. I live in the 16th. I always have. And it is my duty bound that we make sure that we look at this thing again to make sure that we get a chance to revisit it at some level. I know many of you look at me and think, well, what the heck are we going to do? Why do we need to start over? It's not whether or not you need to start over, it's whether or not you need to create a process that allows for all of us to participate, that gives us a chance to be a part of the decision-making process. I thank you for that time. Thank you, Mr. Knapp. I appreciate for you allowing us to talk here today. And I will submit the letter as soon as I can print it here in this system. So I spoke to the lady out there, so if you guys will just bear with us, hold on a little bit while we try to put it together. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next is Marguerite Ross with Charlene Tarver on deck.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, County Legislators, and the esteemed fellow citizens that are here today. I want to give you a shout out, my fellow citizens who care enough to stand up for our voting rights, our constitutional rights. Thank you for coming. It ain't easy to come out. I'm an old lady, going on 75 years old. It's very stressful to me, and I'm sure many others, to come schlep downtown to talk at the convenience of our so-called public servants. Can't find a parking space. Got a family crisis. Can't get down here. So I'm late. So better late than never, I hope. I am fortunate enough to be a native born citizen of the village of Fayetteville, in the town of Manlius, in the county of Onondaga, in the state of New York, in the United States of America, and we have rights. We have rights that must be respected by our public servants. It must. You have a sworn oath, all of you elected officials, to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and you are violating our voting rights by gerrymandering the majority. Now, my representative, Mr. Kevin Holmquist, I used to think a lot of him, but since he fought the impartial redistricting 2 years ago, I don't really have much respect for him. It's so sad that in his last days, as serving after a pretty honorable career in the county legislature and before that as a public servant, it's pretty sad that he's going out on such a low note the way that he's heading. Now, he told me, we don't need any more time because not one single vote will change. I asked him, but I didn't get an answer, What vote are you talking about? Are you talking about the vote on November 12th, where it was 9-8? Is that what you're talking about? Who are the A's and nays? I hope, and I'm not going to beg. It's beneath my dignity as a citizen of this great country to beg you all to serve the citizens. And if your mind is made up and you already decided, it wouldn't do it any good anyway for me to demean myself by begging you. So I guess I'm sort of more, I'm petitioning, and maybe I'm even demanding. Maybe I'm even demanding. You serve the citizens, and you better do your job. So I think if it's the case that it's still 9-8, I think we just need one vote to swing it over to the right side. We only need one vote. I know people have been subjected to a lot of lobbying and so forth and so on, a lot of pressure coming from the Republicans to those who stood up on November 12th. Two Republicans, if I'm not mistaken, stood up with the people. I bet you've been subjected to a lot of pressure to switch your vote. But I will appeal to you and every right-minded person in this county legislature to reconsider, to be open-minded, to vote for the how do I want you to vote? First of all, I want you to adopt the resolution to amend, or it's a local law, to amend the administrative code to make it clear that there is no urgency about pushing through this redistricting. That's number one. If you don't pass that local law, then I'm asking that you vote for map number 3, which for many of us, including in my area, is the better map.
If you could wrap it up, please.
And there's much that I could say, and it's kind of a shame that I'm confined to 3 minutes, but...
Actually, you're well over 5 so far. You're well over 5 minutes so far. I'm giving you some extra, so if you could wrap it up, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you, I will. I want to say 3 things in closing. Stress, gerrymandering. I'm going to say 5. Stress. You're putting us under, 4 days before Christmas, undue stress on the people, rushing this through. Number 2, we're under great stress, as you all know, dealing with COVID. We have an emergency. Number 3, we have a democratic emergency, small d. We have an emergency where gerrymandering, our rights are all being violated under our noses every time we turn around. And you are compounding the stress on us that we don't need. Some of us, if COVID don't kill us, the stress is going to kill us. That's just about the size of it. So give us a break. For crying out loud, give us a break. We don't need this stress. We need to start over again with an impartial redistricting, and we need to take our time. And we need to do it right, and that's what I will say.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Holmquist, finally.
Thank you very much.
I want you to vote on the side of your constituents.
Next is Charlene Tarver.
Good afternoon to the chair of this great legislature and to all of our legislative representatives that are here. My name is Charlene Tarver. I'm the founder and CEO of the Women's Economic Institute. We were originally founded in 2017 in Phoenix, Arizona, and expanded our reach into Central New York in 2021. I was born and raised in Syracuse, New York. I left Syracuse 33 years ago. It is an honor and a pleasure to be back here in Syracuse. I have tremendous confidence and faith in this legislature. I think we are in an unheralded moment in our history, a moment where we have the opportunity, and you have the opportunity, to address some of the systemic issues that have taken place in this community. I was out in Arizona, and I had a colleague of mine who shared with me the concentrated black and brown poverty in Syracuse, New York. Around the nation, people are watching, and people are watching the environmental injustices, the social injustices, the racial injustices, the structural racism that has existed in this state, specifically in this city. You cannot have the highest black and brown concentrated poverty in the wealthiest state in the nation. So I implore you to please go back to the drawing board on this particular issue. I won't rehash what all of my colleagues have already stated. This is racial gerrymandering. Legislative District 16 must remain intact. We must consider the basis of Legislative District 16. We all know the history of America when it comes to racism, slavery, segregation. We know that in marginalized communities, people do not vote. And oftentimes they do not vote because they do not believe in the power of the vote. And they have not, or they have rather historically, been excluded from the vote. You are the representation, you are statesmen in a state that is well positioned, well qualified, well endowed. I ask you that at this moment, as we are in the face of the pandemic, that you do what is right for your fellow man, not based upon partisan lines. Let's go back to the drawing board. Let's give ourselves adequate time to address this particular issue in the redistricting. And let's come forward with something that is fair, that is equitable, and that is inclusive. When you look back on this moment in history, I would like to see you be on the right side of that. I have all faith and confidence in you. That is why I am here. After 33 years, I'm returning to this community to help you and support you in doing what is right so that we can create a more inclusive Syracuse, so that you do not have a city surrounded and embarrassed by its poverty. I encourage you to stand up as a legislature, send this back to the drawing board, create an impartial committee to look at this, and come forward with something that makes us a greater city. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes the people who have signed in. Is there anyone else wishing to speak at this time on this topic? Seeing none, the public hearing is now closed. It is 12:26.